Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. A significant development in the realm of polity and governance has taken place, with the Supreme Court issuing a crucial ruling on the Dowry Prohibition Act, 1961, which is said to have far-reaching implications for the rights of brides and their families in India. The Supreme Court, comprising a bench of Justices Sanjay Kumar and K. Vinod Chandran, has ruled that dowry givers, including brides and their families, cannot be prosecuted under the Dowry Prohibition Act, 1961, when they are the aggrieved party reporting matrimonial cruelty. This ruling is based on Section 7(3) of the Act, which serves as a clear safeguard, as brides' families typically face coercion, not free choice, when giving dowry. This ruling protects complainants from being threatened with counter-prosecution by accused husbands or their families. What makes this significant is that it addresses a critical issue that has been plaguing Indian society for decades. The Dowry Prohibition Act, 1961, was enacted to prevent the giving or taking of dowry, but its implementation has been marred by controversies and challenges. This ruling is a step in the right direction, as it seeks to protect the rights of brides and their families who are often coerced into giving dowry. Building on this, the Supreme Court has also ruled on the issue of voting rights for voters whose appeals against electoral roll exclusion under West Bengal's special intensive revision have been accepted by appellate tribunals. The court has directed that such voters retain their voting rights, while those with pending appeals cannot vote. Over 34 lakh appeals are pending across 19 appellate tribunals, each headed by a retired High Court judge. The court has also directed electoral registration officers to publish supplementary electoral rolls promptly after each tribunal disposal. Now, let us turn to the economy, where India's FY26 patent filings have risen 30.2% to a record 1,43,729 applications. Union Commerce and Industry Minister Piyush Goyal announced that domestic filings reached 99,721, accounting for 69.4% of total filings, up from 61.8% the previous year. This growth is attributed to faster examination timelines under the Indian Patent Office's modernized IT systems and the Startup India IPR fee waiver. Crucially, this development highlights the growing importance of research and development in India, as Indian firms are increasingly investing in innovation and intellectual property. Remember this number, 1,43,729, the record number of patent filings in FY26. Note this carefully, the growth in patent filings is a testament to the government's efforts to promote innovation and entrepreneurship in the country. And here is something that surprises many students: India and New Zealand will sign a free trade agreement on 27 April 2026 at Bharat Mandapam in New Delhi. The pact targets doubling bilateral merchandise trade to $5 billion within 5 years, with India securing zero-duty access for 100% of its exports to New Zealand. In return, 95% of New Zealand exports will get reduced Indian tariffs over 10 years. A skilled worker visa pathway allows up to 5,000 Indian professionals annually for 3 years. It is worth pausing here to note that this agreement has significant implications for India's trade relations with New Zealand. The agreement is expected to boost trade between the two countries and provide new opportunities for Indian businesses and professionals. What does this mean for India's strategic position? It means that India is increasingly engaging with countries in the Asia-Pacific region, seeking to strengthen its economic and trade ties. Now, let us look at the environment and ecology sector, where Lieutenant Governor Vinay Kumar Saxena has launched Project Him Sarovar in Ladakh to address chronic water scarcity in the region. The project creates 50 water bodies in Leh and Kargil districts to capture snowmelt and glacial melt that otherwise runs off unused. The initiative pairs water infrastructure with high-altitude crop promotion and is supported by the Indian Army, ITBP, and BRO. Building on this, botanists have described a new flowering plant species, Delenia nagalim, from the Indo-Myanmar border. The small shrub grows at 250 to 350 meters altitude in tropical deciduous forests, features bright yellow flowers and double serrated leaves, and flowers in May to June. The species name, Nagalim, honors the Naga people who inhabit the discovery region. And in another significant development, the painted leopard gecko has been recorded for the first time in Bastar district, Chhattisgarh, significantly expanding its known geographic range. The species, family Eubulpharidae, was first scientifically described from the Eastern Ghats in 2022. The Brahmani River was previously thought to be a distribution barrier. The Bastar finding suggests the species range crosses major river systems in central India. Now, let us turn to the science and technology sector, where Tata Semiconductor Manufacturing Private Limited's facility at Dholera Special Investment Region in Gujarat has been formally notified under the Special Economic Zones Rules 2006. The notification grants the unit CESS tax benefits, streamlined customs procedures, and single window clearances. The Dholera fab will produce silicon wafers using mature node technology in partnership with Powerchip Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation of Taiwan. In the international relations sector, a 10-day as-brokered ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon has begun, but faced immediate violations with reports of continued shelling in southern Lebanon. Lebanese President Joseph Aoun is consulting Hezbollah leadership, while Pakistan has emerged as an unconventional back-channel mediator between Washington and Tehran. Brent crude initially spiked but stabilized below $100 per barrel as ceasefire confidence partially returned. India and Germany have jointly launched a commemorative logo in Berlin, marking 75 years of diplomatic relations. The launch occurred during the India-Germany Foreign Office consultations co-chaired by Foreign Secretary Vikram Misri and German State Secretary Dr. Gisede Andreas von Geer. The two countries are expanding cooperation in green hydrogen, defense procurement, skilled worker mobility, and Indo-Pacific maritime security. Now, let us look at the security and defense sector, where Prime Minister Narendra Modi has chaired India's first-ever high-level conference dedicated exclusively to the Central Armed Police Forces. The conference brought together leadership of the CRPF, BSF, CISF, ITBP, and SSP to address insurgency, left-wing extremism, border infiltration, and cyber-enabled threats. The PM emphasized interforce synergy, intelligence integration, and modernization of welfare frameworks for Jawans and their families. In the social issues sector, the Karnataka High Court has directed the state government to strictly implement its menstrual leave policy, granting one paid day per month to women employees aged 18 to 52, recognizing menstrual health as a fundamental right linked to Article 21. The court extended the policy's reach to unorganized sector workers and daily wage women, citing the doctrine of substantive equality. The Ministry of Ayush has organized the Ayush Chintan Shivir 2026 to align the Ayush sector with the Viksit Bharat 2047 vision. Union Ayush Minister Shri Pratap Rao Jadhav launched a national toll-free citizen helpline for Ayush consultations and grievance redressal. The Shivir focused on integrating Ayush with primary healthcare, evidence-based research protocols, and global outreach. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The CE20 engine is not relevant here, but we do have some important numbers to remember. The Indian Patent Office's modernized IT systems have led to faster examination timelines, and the Startup India IPR fee waiver has contributed to the growth in patent filings. The free trade agreement between India and New Zealand aims to double bilateral merchandise trade to $5 billion within 5 years. This is a favorite prelims fact. India's FY26 patent filings have risen 30.2% to a record 1,43,729 applications. Note this carefully. The growth in patent filings is a testament to the government's efforts to promote innovation and entrepreneurship in the country. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? The developments in the polity and governance, economy, environment and ecology, science and technology, international relations, security and defense, and social issues sectors are all relevant to your preparation. Remember to focus on the key facts and numbers and to analyze the implications of these developments for India's strategic position. The growth in patent filings, the signing of the free trade agreement with New Zealand, and the launch of Project Himsarovar in Ladakh are all significant developments that have far-reaching implications for India's economy, environment, and strategic position. As you prepare for the UPSC exam, keep in mind the broader significance of these developments and how they connect to the various themes and topics that you need to study.